During the run-up to the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, U.S. sprinter Lauren Williams came to accept that her father was not going to be able to get there to see her compete. He was suffering from leukemia. Also, he needed regular dialysis treatments. When residents of her hometown in Rochester, Pennsylvania, heard about this, they raised enough money to send her father and several other family members to see her win what turned out to be a silver medal in the 100-meter dash. While competing for Team USA, the emotional and financial support Olympians receive from small towns can be invaluable. Who is your hometown Olympian? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Lauren Williams earned the title as fastest woman on earth in 2005. She joins us now from the BBC studios in Birmingham, England, where she's preparing for what will be her third Olympic Games. And nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
It's so wonderful to be here.
And reading this story, you didn't even ask for this money. You just mentioned in a newspaper article your father wasn't going to be able to make it.
I did. I was explaining about how there was a fundraiser done in Michigan where my mom was living and that, you know, my father wasn't going to be able to make it. And I was okay with that. I knew it was going to be hard for him. And it just kind of mentioned it in passing in the article as well. And next thing we knew, money came pouring in.
From your hometown, Rochester, Pennsylvania.
All over Pennsylvania. Yeah.
All
Pittsburgh,
over Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, but I'm from Rochester, Pennsylvania.
And were you surprised?
I was very surprised. It was really a great experience, and just to see everyone rally together. And we didn't end up sending just my father. We sent my father, my four of my five sisters, the husband, one of my brothers. So it was about eight people in total that, you know, we ended up raising the money for all of them to be able to participate and come to Athens.
And so they were there to watch you win a medal. You lost first the gold medal by what? An eyelash.
An eyelash. 0.03 seconds.
A bummer. But nevertheless, a silver medal is nothing to sneeze at.
Especially at age 20, it was a really great experience.
And, of course, it was a great experience for your family, too. Your father has since passed away, and so this must have been a great moment for him and all your other siblings.
Yeah, it was really cool for him to be able to be there. And he even got sick while over there, and even the way people rallied together to make sure that he was in the right hospital. You get support from so many different areas, both large and small. It's so significant to, you know, making that performance something that you can just relax and go out there and compete at your best.
These days you wear a Miami jersey when you compete. That's another hometown, I guess.
Yes, I went to the University of Miami and graduated in 2004. I've been there for the last 10 years. My coach, Amy Deem, at the University of Miami, is now the head coach of the Olympic team this year. So it's really been a cool honor to see that come full circle and her work her way up to the top and get all these accolades.
I wonder, though, every 4 years this becomes such a big deal. Track and field, of course, is a big sport, but not as big as it is during the Olympic Games. Do people recognize you?
I actually am recognized a little bit. You know, like, people cover the Olympic, like, they're so glued to the TV during the Olympic Games that in between those times that I am getting recognized pretty regularly, and it's pretty cool experience. You know, I'm not like LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or anything, but fairly regularly I get recognized.
And did you go back to Rochester, Pennsylvania to thank the people?
Oh, definitely. I go home as often as I can. I still have sisters and other family members there, so... Yeah, they always rally around me and support me. And as I said, it's been little things, even from, you know, the high school years where other people were driving me to, you know, track meets and things like that. If my dad was sick or unavailable, the team's just always been with me. They've always supported me. They always invested in me because they saw my potential. So it's been really cool to grow up in such a small town where they rally behind me all the time.
And it's those little things, I think, that can make a huge difference in somebody's life.
Definitely. That's one of the biggest things that people don't realize. It's not always money that we need. It's just, you know, dedicating your time to us and the little, you know, charitable things that can help somebody take a little stress off your shoulders and me be able to reach my full potential.
Talk about taking stress off. We have this email from Andrew in Aurora, Colorado. Who's our hometown Olympian? Missy Franklin, the 17-year-old swimming phenom, is both a student at my high school, Regis, 1973, and a neighbor in Aurora, also home to the 24-year-old who killed more than a dozen moviegoers. Do great things, Missy, and help distract us from this latest tragedy. So I guess this cuts both ways. The people take enormous pride in their hometown Olympian.
Definitely. I think that's really cool when we can uplift a whole city or even a whole state by just getting out there and representing to the best of our abilities. Of course, we're always, you know, hoping to bring home gold. But in the event that we don't, we know that those people are going to be proud of us for how hard we worked and how much effort we put into representing them as a city, as a town, or as a state.
And I think people have this, perception that if you're an Olympic athlete, an elite world-class athlete, there must be a lot of money involved.
Yeah, like I said, I'm no LeBron James or Dwayne Wade at
on
all.
that front either, no.
Yeah, track and field has been lucky enough to come one of the better professional sports, but there's a large range. I think people know Usain Bolt, and I don't think that, the majority of the track and field athletes make anything like Usain Bolt does. So a lot of us depend on, actually in 2004, I can tell a story about a high jumper who worked 80 hours a week and won a silver medal. And we were traveling home together and he was saying, I'm really looking forward to be able to just work in a 40-hour week. And he had just won the silver medal. So I was thinking that, he'd have enough money to not have to work at all, just be able to train and do this high jump. But he was just going for a 40-hour week instead of an 80-hour week on top of his training.
On top of his training. So we want to hear from you. Who is your hometown Olympian? What is your town doing to support him or her? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And let's start with Isaac. And Isaac's on the line with us from Fort Wayne.
I'm sorry, what's that again?
You're on the air, Isaac. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to call in. I grew up in Volgograd, Russia, and our hometown star is Yelena Isinbayeva, and she is the two-time Olympic champion in pole vaulting.
You've done marvels with your accent.
I'm actually from Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's where I was born and raised, but I was raised for 7 years in Volgograd, Russia.
And you think of that as your hometown. Do you know what the people there in Volgograd do to support your jumper?
They actually, when she was younger, she and her sister trained to be gymnasts. And as she grew older, she got taller, where now she's probably like 6 feet tall. And the hometown really gathered around her to support her changing her event from, gymnastics to pole vaulting.
And how do you keep in touch with her exploits?
I haven't talked to her in a couple of years. My mother sometimes, she saw her in Moscow a couple of years ago. But I haven't had touch with her in a long time, but I do every once in a while keep up with her sister.
And do you ever get back to the town that used to be known as Stalingrad?
Yes, I do. I try to go every couple of years. My parents actually live in Kiev, Ukraine right now, so I try to make it over and hopefully make it over this fall.
Well, have a nice trip, and we'll wish her all the luck in the world.
All right. Thanks for putting me on.
Appreciate the phone call. Here's an email we have from Kimberly in Bend, Oregon. Bend, Oregon's hometown Olympian is Ashton Eaton, talented athlete, educated, and all-around nice young man. He was raised by a single mom who taught him to be a well-grounded human. It couldn't have been easy growing up here as biracial. Bend is only now beginning to be more multicultural. We are very proud of Ashton. And Lauren Williams, one of the benefits of being an Olympian is to live in the Olympic Village, to get to meet all these people, not just from track and field, those people you probably know pretty well, but pole vaulters and people like Ashton Eaton.
It is a really cool opportunity. I've run into both Isinbayeva and Ashton Eaton many times. And it's just really cool to see Ashton, getting ready to represent the United States, already having broke the world record at the U.S. Olympic trials. It's just really cool to see, how in Eugene even people showed up and got ready to support him and cheered him on. And the crowd went crazy as he came home during his last event, hoping that he was going to run fast enough to break the world record. So to already have achieved that before you even made it to the Olympics this year is just phenomenal. And I know he couldn't have done it without the support of the people of Oregon.
And as we mentioned, this would be your third Olympic game. So you must be able to have a lot of compare and contrast. How is this different from China?
I think the main thing is that there's English being spoken this time around. So there's a lot going on in London.
A close variant of English, yes.
I haven't quite made it into the village yet. A lot of the other athletes have gone over and processed and come back. We'll head over on Thursday or Friday, right before the opening ceremony. So really looking forward to that opportunity of getting in the village and checking it out. And like you said, meeting all kinds of different new people. And I think this time I'm kind of just delighting in the process. Maybe as a 2004 athlete, I took it a little bit for granted, just kind of like a deer in headlights. I didn't have anything to lose, so I just went with it. And in 2008, I think I was feeling the pressure of being a professional athlete. And so this time I really get to delight in the process and see all the different things that are important about the Olympic spirit.
And this time around, you're going to be part of the pool in the relay, correct?
That's correct.
So one of the people who could be selected to run in the relay race. So you're going to be obviously paying close attention to what your rivals are doing, your rivals and teammates.
Definitely, exactly. I just want to make sure that I'm, training and keeping my body fit in the event that someone's unable to run, or in the event that I, have to run the preliminary rounds in order to rest some of the other athletes that are doing one or two events in the Olympic Games. So, really looking forward to having my opportunity to go for gold, especially after 2004 and 2008, where we didn't have relay success. I'm really looking forward to redeeming ourselves and getting out there and getting that gold medal for Team USA.
Training to not drop the baton.
We are not going to drop the baton.
Here's an email from Casey in Norwood, Ohio. My hometown Olympian is Kayla Harrison, women's judo, 78 kilograms. She's expected to win the gold in her bracket, as she has recently won matches over all her opponents in other international competitions. There was an awesome article in the Cincinnati newspaper about her personal triumph over abuse by a previous coach. I am proud to say she is from Southwest Ohio, and we'll make sure I cheer her on. We're talking with sprinter Lauren Williams. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go next to, this is Hannah, and Hannah's with us from Gastonia in North Carolina.
Yeah, hi, how are you guys?
I'm good, thank.
Great. Yeah, so my future brother-in-law, Eric, otherwise known as Butter Hurd, is competing with his best friend, Jeff Lammer, in C2, which are it's the double canoe, kayaking.
And where do they train?
They train locally here at the U.S. Whitewater Center, right outside of Charlotte.
So this is from their hometown, and they're able to train there as well.
Right. Well, they're both originally from Georgia, but Butter moved here to Gastonia in order to train. So he's been training for the past number of years here. And then him and Jeff have actually been alternatively spending weekends with each other, either training down in Georgia or up here training at the Whitewater Center.
And canoeing is another of those sports where you're not remunerated like LeBron James.
And unfortunately, it hasn't gotten that claim to fame yet, but around here people know about it, so that's pretty cool.
All right, Hannah, we wish them the best of luck. Thanks very much for the phone call.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And it's interesting, she was talking about the training center. So you're adopted by various places, Lauren Williams, as you go along. You mentioned, obviously, your hometown in Pennsylvania, but then, of course, Miami, where you went to university. And are there, in a sense, Eugene, where the track and field finals or preliminaries are held, that must be a bit of a hometown, too.
Definitely. Everywhere you go and then you find track and field fans, it kind of becomes your hometown. It's little things. I was just in Monaco this past week, and there were some Americans sitting across from a table. I was having dinner, and, I started to chit-chat with them. And before you know it, I was heading out, and I kept waiting, like, why is the lady not bringing my check? And they had picked up the check. So little support comes from everywhere. With Team USA, we band together, and your hometown is everywhere when you run into people that are really looking forward to supporting you and want you to do your best to succeed.
Here's a tweet from Sally Gore. For many years, I lived down the road from Joan Benoit Samuelson. I could not have had a better Olympic hero in my midst. Special. And this from Patricio in Cairo, Georgia. Teresa Edwards, basketball player and a really good person. She sent us a picture of her as well. Edwards is the first basketball player, male or female, to have played in five Olympics. She competed for the United States in 19 international competitions. Her team won 14 gold medals. She also holds the unique distinction of being the youngest gold medalist in women's basketball, age 20 in 1984, and the oldest gold medalist in women's basketball, age 36 in 2000. She holds the record for points in a women's basketball game in the United States with 46. She made a record fifth Olympic basketball team, earning a fourth gold medal to go with her bronze. She returned to Europe to play professionally in 2002. And that's a long career, Lauren Williams. Is three Olympic Games a lot for a sprinter?
Three Olympic Games is a lot for a sprinter. There's very few of us on this team that have been around for the last three games. And I think there's even a slight few that have done four games. I don't know very many. Actually, I can't name anyone that's done five Olympic Games, or I'm from the U.S. team. But, every 4 years, it's a long time. Lots of things happen from 1 year to the next, and to be ready and fit enough. And U.S. team is the hardest team to make. There's three spots. It's very competitive. We have eight people. If we could take eight Americans to some of these finals, we'd probably get places one through eight. We're that good in the world. So three Olympic teams is a great honor and really good accomplishment for me and for anyone else who's achieved it. So yeah, for that girl as well, it's amazing to have done so much.
Let's go next to Ruthie. Ruthie on the line with us from Gainesville.
Yes, hi.
All right, go ahead, please. Who's your local Olympian?
Gainesville is the home of Ryan Lochte, but I'm calling to give a high five to Jade Childs. She is a Paralympian swimmer who will be going to London to swim the 50-meter butterfly.
In the Paralympic Games, which immediately follow the Olympic Games.
That's right. That's right. It's, I think, just after that latter part of August. And Jade is a part of an organization that supports families whose children have upper limb differences or birth defects. And that group is called Hands to Love. And Hands to Love will be hosting a fundraiser for Jade and her family to support them in going as a group to March 8th.
We wish both her and Ryan Lochte great success in London. Thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And Lauren Williams, good luck to you as well. When are you going to find out if you're going to run or not?
We don't find out until probably 2 or 3 days before. But I'm really optimistic that I will be one of the members that will get to run.
Well, congratulations if you do, and you'll be part of the team even if you don't.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to playing a supporting role. And as long as we get that gold medal, I'm going to be proud no matter what.
Lauren Williams joined us from Birmingham, England. Well, she will be competing in the relay pool. She won the silver medal for the 100-meter dash in 2004 and was the fastest woman in the world in 2005. Tomorrow, Elton John on AIDS, loss, and his new book, Love is the Cure. Join us for that. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.